Hello, everyone, and welcome to audio number one of Binge Freedom. I am so happy you're here. If you have been struggling with overeating, binge eating, emotional eating, stress eating, compulsive eating, you're in the right place. My name is Randy Moss, and I'm an eating psychology and mind-body wellness coach. And what really gets me excited is helping to mentor women in their journey from food obsession, emotional eating, binge eating, and painful body image towards full and complete body love, trust, and food freedom. So I struggled with all of the above struggles for most of my life. Really, I don't remember a time when food and body stuff wasn't an issue. Well, maybe not body stuff when I was young, but definitely food stuff. When I was a kid, I would sneak food from our real fridge and transfer it to my Fisher-Price fridge, where I would learn to eat it quickly or it would mold. I would spend school lectures and church sermons dreaming about what was for lunch. I mean, my appetite was bigger than my parents knew what to do with, and they were constantly telling me, you know, that what was on my plate was enough, absolutely enough for any one little girl. I remember sneaking back to the potluck table again and again to stuff napkins with shredded cheese and take it away and eat it in the bathroom. So I was definitely a food sneaker, a private eater when I was a kid. As I got into junior high, my friends and I did start caring about our bodies. You know, things start changing. And every day pretty much was another cycle of, you know, we'll eat the chips today, but tomorrow we'll be good. By the time I would get home, of course, I was packing away family-sized bags of chips rather than the single-serving bags that were in my lunch pack. In high school, I started dieting for real. I counted calories, I went running first thing in the morning, and on top of having this door-to-door missionary job that kept me on my feet all day, I was exercising intensely, hours and hours every weekend. By the time these days were done, I would eat enough food to make my body throw up without even trying. I wasn't, you know, it was not your typical binge-purge cycle. It was there, but it was not purposeful. I would just eat until I feel like my eyes were going to pop out of my head. When I got to my 20s, I had swapped my childhood religion that I grew up with for the religion, and any of you who've gotten involved in this might relate to what I'm saying here, for the religion of clean eating. I spent several years as a flight attendant and could regularly eat package after package after package of trail mix. And before you're like, that's not a binge, you should know that these were not the cute little freebies you're probably thinking of, but full-sized bags meant for entire families. And at this point, I was sporadically vomiting, and it was no longer unintentional. There was even a stretch where I ended up juice fasting for 3 months. I did this a couple times, hoping desperately that my binge eating would be healed at the end, but of course, it was right there waiting for me when I started eating again. I did go for long periods without binging by the time I was in my 20s. My willpower would grow stronger with each longing for freedom in my body, but that didn't mean I didn't think about it. Honestly, I couldn't even remember a time in my life that I hadn't been obsessed with food, whether it was sneaking it as a kid or, you know, planning my vacations around restaurants that I was allowed to eat at as an adult. So this program is peppered with personal stories from my own experience. One, because I just love stories. I love to tell stories. And two, because I think it's important to hear what the journey has been like from somebody who's actually been there and who's actually healed. So if you would have asked me a few years ago, maybe 3-4 years ago, if it were possible, maybe even longer than that, if it were possible to completely stop binge eating, I would have said no. Or at least admitted that I didn't know because, for the life of me, I hadn't gotten to the bottom of it yet. I had read every book on compulsive eating, emotional eating, binge eating, and I had tried all the advice from just feel your feelings to just stop binging, and nothing worked. In fact, the harder I tried to shed this habit that was ruining my life, the more it seemed to want to hang on. It didn't matter what habits I changed. I meditated, I got plenty of sleep, I gave up sugar, gave up nearly everything else, and I was brilliant at sticking to a diet. Problem was, I'd binge on whatever there was left to binge on. Carrots? I would binge on pounds and pounds of them. Green juice, like when I was fasting, I would just drink jar after jar after jar after jar. I felt insatiable, completely uncontrollable, and I could out-eat anyone, no matter their size. I couldn't remember a time when it wasn't that way, really. I would read testimonials on message boards and Facebook groups, people saying that they, quote, didn't binge anymore, and I would cynically roll my eyes thinking that this was impossible and that they would be binging again before they knew it. But how could I think anything else? It was literally all that I had experienced. I wanted nothing more than to swap my food obsession for freedom, but I was at my wit's end. Until I quit fighting. And when I quit fighting and actually made friends, believe it or not, with my binge eating, I found out it had so much to teach me, and it fell away really quite quickly. And it can happen for you too, and I'm so excited to walk you through this. But what you need to know is this. There is nothing wrong with you, and binge eating is not the problem. It is actually the symptom, and it's a symptom that's calling for us to take a deeper look. There are as many reasons to binge as there are people on the planet, so how could I possibly claim to have your answers? Well, the tools that we're going to talk about are actually going to get you in touch with you and your own internal answers. The first shift that you need to make is realizing that binge eating is here for you. It's not here to destroy your life. It's not about your lack of willpower. It's actually here to teach you about yourself, which is really exciting. And what I'm going to do over the next few days, over the next few audios, is walk you through the things that binge eating taught me and the things that it's taught my clients. And I'm betting that some of these will resonate with you. So I'm not here to fix you because you don't need fixing. I swear it, you don't need fixing. But I am here to show you another way. It's going to be unconventional. Some of it might seem ridiculous, but go with me. I have a feeling you've tried the same thing over and over again without success. Perhaps you've stopped eating sugar or kept your trigger foods out of the house or tried to white knuckle your way through or promised again and again that this would be your last binge or, you know, shamed and hated yourself as a form of motivation. I have been there. So my approach may very well be unconventional, but is what you're doing working? Let's talk about the definition of binge eating. Ultimately, it's not so black and white. For some people, it's 4 cookies. For some people, it's 40 cookies. My mentor in eating psychology, Mark David, has his own definition, and he says that it is a, quote, deep and intensive dive into excess that's characterized by consequences, but points to something hidden. So that's a little wordy. In my own words, I just say that it's out-of-control eating that feels like it's ruining your life, but secretly it's here in complete support of you. There's a huge amount of power in binge eating, and we are going to put that power to good use. We work so hard on our physical bodies, but how much work are we doing on our emotional bodies? Now let's talk about the definition of a compulsion. A compulsion is that which we must do. You know that feeling, right? That feeling you get when you know there's no stopping you and you are going to binge. It feels like this unstoppable force and it feels as though everything in you is propelling you face first into that pan of hot brownies or whatever. So compulsion is powerful, but we can shift that power. Binge eating actually has little to do with food, which is why changing up things with our food often doesn't have the effect that we want it to have for very long. It's really more about what we can't see. The binge is a behavior that is pointing somewhere else, and we actually need it so that we can see ourselves fully and grow into more of who we actually are, who we authentically are. I know that authentic is a word that might be overused on social media or in personal growth circles or whatever, but this is true. And binge eating is going to stay as long as we haven't listened to it. So you're going to just have to take a deep breath and get cozy so that you can hear what it's trying to say to you. How many times have you thought to yourself, I didn't want to do this, but I'm doing it anyways? It's a part of us that is outside of our control, that's been pushed aside, and it's asking for our attention. And once we reintegrate that part or those parts, we get our power back. When a negative power is revealed, the hidden language says that there is a positive power calling to be made known. So it's super good news. Like, this is all so exciting. Binge eating is actually the body's perfect response to our tendency to skim the surface of life. When we skim the surface, we look for surface strategies. Again, like removing trigger foods or going to bed early or chewing on ice or whatever it is that you try and do to keep yourself from binge eating. A lot of traditional approaches look at binging as the problem, as this behavior problem, and it's something that's considered bad and in need of fixing. But when we see it as bad and in need of fixing, we punish ourselves with this horrible self-talk and shame and self-judgment, and we see ourselves as less than and unworthy until we can get ourselves fixed. But think about it. Is that what you do with a little kid? Would you beat them up and tell them they're fat or they have no willpower or they're worthless? Like, of course not. That's how insane this strategy of self-attack is. I mean, it might motivate us, but the motivation is going to be completely out of fear, which isn't going to be sustainable. So traditional approaches tend to take this route. So how liberating is it to take on a perspective that we don't actually need fixing? It's like being let out of this internal jail that we've kept ourselves in. So perhaps you're not feeling liberated yet. Perhaps you still just feel like you're an out-of-control wreck. That's fine. That's okay. But think of binge eating as an out-of-control behavior that's actually a balancing act for a place in our life where we are controlling too tightly. Our emotional and physical bodies are always seeking balance. The solutions they come up with might not be the best healers, but they're doing their best. Our internal psychic systems hate tight control. And the more tightly we control, the sooner we're going to snap. That snap can look like an out-of-control behavior, like a binge. So what we're doing is we're actually sort of learning this hidden secret language that's in the psyche and in the body. So number one on the list of things that your binge eating could be trying to show you is that you're holding on too tightly, that you're controlling too tightly somewhere in your life. Now, as I went through this process, and I've gone through this with my clients, there were some clear repeats. There are some clear repeats that tend to pop up on the control list time and time again. So I'm going to list a few things that I was controlling too tightly or that I've seen my clients controlling too tightly and see if any of these resonate with you. Are you controlling food frequency? Do you have rules about when you should eat? If you eat outside of those designated times, do you feel like you can't stop? This is something we're going to be talking about more in depth tomorrow. Number two, are you controlling pleasure with food? Are you looking at certain foods as good and certain foods as bad? Do you feel like you are good or bad if you eat those certain foods? Are you somebody who eats, quote, healthy all day and then binges at night? The body has literally a biological need for pleasure. We do not absorb food as well when we don't enjoy it. I'm completely serious. Am I saying that you should live on cheeseburgers or whatever it is that you find pleasurable? You could, but I doubt you'd feel good for very long. That's not exactly what I'm saying. But what I want you to get in touch with is what actually feels good in your own body. And we're going to be talking a lot more about pleasure in the coming days. Number three, are you controlling your emotions? Do you feel like you need to, quote, stay positive or not get angry? Or on the flip side, are you not allowing yourself to fully live a joyful life? Are you labeling emotions as bad or good? The moment you push down an emotion, it can come out as binge eating. Number four, are you controlling life? Do you need things to be a certain way to be happy? Do you need people to be a certain way? Are you always trying to maintain perfect control of the world around you? Do you feel crazy when things don't go the way that you feel like they should? Number five, and this is a big one, we're going to talk a bit here. Are you controlling food amount? Do you have an idea of how much your body should have? Are you on a specific plan with solid limits? Let me tell you, I have been there. Like I mentioned above, I was great at sticking to a plan, but I'd binge on whatever was on that plan. So when the body is deficient, and if you're on a diet, or if you have ideas of how much you think is enough, it very likely is deficient. Whether that's in a particular macronutrient or calories in general, when the body is deficient, it goes into the survival response and your metabolism is lowered. So eating raises metabolism, not eating enough or dieting lowers it. Every time we eat, our body temperature rises. So you can see how starving yourself, even if you don't feel like you're starving yourself, dieting, just simple dieting, can be counterproductive to the weight loss that so many of us are trying to achieve. Now, this program isn't designed with a focus on weight loss per se, but if that's what you're after, I just want to make it clear how the traditional dieting route can be so completely counterproductive, not to mention make us crazy, which you're going to see in even more detail in just a sec here. Tight control of diet can be driven by fear of weight gain, pleasure, hunger, food. If any of these are striking a chord with you, I would recommend taking a closer look at them, journaling about them, or talking about them with somebody that you can trust. Up until, like I said, a few years ago, I had been completely intimate with each of these fears for really as long as I could remember. There were also those stretches of binging and purging, but mostly I was just eating enough that my body would throw up on its own. And you can imagine, and a lot of you probably have experienced, the shame that accompanies this sort of thing. I was on a mission to tackle this binge eating demon and, of course, get super skinny once it was gone. And I tend to say that it's not about the food, right? I've already said that once here. But in this case, it's not about the food, except when it's about the food. Because as often as we've heard this, you're going to see in this tiny case, it is sort of about the food. So let me explain. There was a study done near the end of World War II, and maybe you've heard about this, and if you have, great, it's finally, thankfully, becoming more mainstream, but for those of you that don't know about it, this study was done on healthy, mentally stable men to test the effects of starvation and figure out how to best refeed those who had been through a period of famine. They begin with a control period, where they ensured the men were continuing to eat about how they normally would have been eating, which was around 3,000 calories. After the control period, they dropped their calories to 1,570 a day. Now, in the midst of our dieting culture as it is, 1,570 sounds perfectly reasonable and responsible. And it definitely did to me when I first started reading about this study. I mean, open any magazine and nobody would be surprised to find diet recommendations leaning more towards 1,200 or 1,400 calories, at least for women. But in the 1940s, 1570, this number 1,570 calories was considered semi-starvation, and it was. These men quickly became very, very skinny, but that wasn't necessarily surprising. Here are the other things. This is where you're really going to want to take note. The other notes that were documented were that the men became quickly obsessed with food, reportedly thinking about it all day. They created rituals around their food and started obsessively reading cookbooks for fun. They became anxious, cruel, and impatient with each other and were extremely irritable if their meals weren't served on time. They became apathetic and no longer engaged in discussions about things that used to excite them, so no talk of sex or politics or anything that would have previously really gotten them going. They just talked about food. They started amping themselves up with mega doses of coffee and kept their mouths busy with gum. And despite having started the study completely committed, there were some men who were even cheating and sneaking food outside of the study. One guy reported dreaming about cannibalism, and then after being found cheating on the study, he broke down, threatened to kill himself, and was sent to the psychiatric ward. Once he had been fed plenty, he became completely normal again. And in a really interesting twist, these guys also started believing that they looked fat, but that everyone else around them was thin. And I don't know about you, but I can relate to a lot of this. It's completely culturally acceptable for us to joke about how grumpy we are when we go on a diet. And I've known plenty of women who all that they can do to, like, they do all they can do to stretch a low-calorie meal and make it last longer. And I don't know about you either, but I've definitely been guilty. Not guilty, but I have, you know, spent long periods of time reading cookbooks for pleasure or spending all day nourished by nothing but coffee or chewing gum for dessert and spending every waking moment thinking about food. And I thought there was something wrong with me. All of this to say, restriction is powerful. These men who had been totally normal and healthy in every way pre-experiment were now obsessed with food and their weight. And if you guys want to look into this more, you can just Google the Minnesota Starvation Experiment. There's a lot of really interesting stuff. I just mentioned a few of the things on the list. So restriction caused major mental dysfunction. And of course, once they started eating normally again, they were completely starving. They only felt better after packing away thousands of calories, often in a frenzy. And they talked about feeling insatiable despite their physical fullness. I mean, does this sound familiar to anyone? Okay, how, after this study was done, it's been considered acceptable and normal to recommend low-calorie diets, you know, consisting of far less calories than the human body needs to thrive is beyond me. It blows my mind. And we'll talk about this more later, but once we've gotten used to restricting for any period, our bodies are going to be much more likely to want to hang on to body fat as protection for the next potential, you know, famine as it sees it. So our potential, both mentally and physically, is being compromised with this widespread idea that restrictive dieting is the key to health. And we're all over here thinking something is wrong with us for binge or emotional eating on the other side of our good, clean diets. All right. Ha! I'm getting out of breath with that one. Is all this to say that emotional eating is not a thing? No, definitely not. We are fully capable of being well-fed and using food as a way to escape, distract, or just to experience pleasure. But it's much easier to identify and heal that sort of habit from a place of mental steadiness and complete physical nourishment. But, I've said but several times, oh, really intense. We need a more nourishing experience with food. So your problem isn't that you binge eat. Your problem is the rest of the day or week when you're in this tight control. Alrighty, I've got two homework assignments for you today. First, I want you to pull out your journal or a notebook and write a list of all the areas in your life that you try to control. They can be things that I mentioned or, you know, whatever comes to your mind. And as you go over this list, start to think about where you can begin to soften your control, even if it's just the tiniest bit. Homework part two is probably going to be a little more long-term. And it takes into account that in order to binge, our bodies have to be in a stress response. So when we binge, there's this part of us, right, that feels completely out of control. And there's a part of us that's simply abandoning ourselves and disembodying. And the key to transforming compulsive eating in the moment is relaxation and presence. This covers both the stress response issue and the self-abandonment issue. Now, it's impossible to binge eat if relaxation and presence are part of the picture. Now, what I'm about to describe is going to be incredibly difficult for some of you, and perhaps a piece of cake for others. Don't judge yourself either way. From here on out, if or when the urge to binge comes up, I don't want you to fight it. Part of what defines a binge for me is that we use it to zone out and go unconscious. Rather, I'd like you to do the opposite. When the urge to binge comes up, I want you to stay completely awake and present. Not to keep you from binging, but to allow yourself to experience it fully. So when every part of you wants you to dive headfirst into the fridge, I want you to feel your feet on the floor. Deepen your breath and feel that, it may be painful, but feel the whirl of emotions and sensations going on in your body. Then go for whatever you are going for, be it the ice cream or the cookies or the chips, whatever, and dish it out into a bowl. Don't eat it out of the bag. Don't eat it standing at the fridge. Sit down, put on music, light a candle, and be there for this binge. You're gonna do it anyways, so be there. And allow it to be sensual, awake, alive. Make it an experience. Make it beautiful. And just notice. Notice the voice that's telling you you should stop. Notice the shame voice. Just notice. You can get up and get more as many times as you want. And when you finish, don't check out and don't shame yourself. Stay connected to your body and to your feelings. And this might be incredibly uncomfortable. And it's likely that this is unlike anything you've tried or been told to do before, but this is step one. Don't skip it. This is not about getting rid of the binge right now. It's about listening and letting it transform us. Once we're transformed, we're no longer going to need it in the way that we do now. Now remember that this is day one. I am packing a lot of information into these 5 audios, so feel free to come back to them. And again, this is a practice. You'll get something new every time you listen to this and every time you practice. Now, this is the end. This is the end of audio one. Come on over to the Facebook group and share your thoughts. I would love to hear your revelations on this mindful binge eating practice. And I'd love to hear whatever you're comfortable sharing in terms of control and what you're ready to let go of. If you have any questions, please also post them in the group so that the rest of the participants can benefit, and I will chat with you tomorrow. All right.